Now, friends, we come back to this very marvelous third chapter of the Epistle to the Philippians. And today we put in at verse 7. Now, last time we saw that Paul gave to us the things that he could trust in and did trust in when he had confidence in the flesh. That is, he believed that his good works, his religion, his ritual, his sacrifices, everything that he did contributed to his salvation. And then he met the Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road. And what happened? A revolution took place. Listen to him describe it here. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now, that is what happened on the Damascus Road. What things were gained to me, I counted them loss for Christ. Now, on that credit side of the ledger where he had been making these additions of good works and his character, his background, his religion, my, all of that seemed to add up and amount to something. And it did on the human plane. But he says, when I met Christ, it got off of the credit side and actually became a debit. I no longer trusted that. And when I met Jesus Christ, I'd hated him before. I was on the way to Damascus to persecute his followers. And now the one who was on the debit side becomes the credit side. And the only one I trust in is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, if the bookkeeping system of this country was transformed like that, it would upset the economy of the world, and it would be a revolution. A revolution took place. And actually, any conversion is a revolution, because what things are gained become a loss. What is a loss becomes a gain. It turns you upside down, right side up, and inside out. It gets you in an altogether different position. And friends, if this hasn't happened to you, well, all I can say is it just hasn't happened. That's all. And this is what conversion is. Now, between verses 7 and 8, there is a time lapse. How long, I'm not prepared to say. But later on, Paul could say this, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. For whom I've suffered the loss of all things, I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now, that was not just an experience of a moment. Actually, this matter of conversion is not a balloon ascension. And a great many people think sanctification is that you can go down to some altar, you can have some experience and see a vision, and that you're carried to the heights, and that's it. Why, my friend, may I say to you, conversion is something that stays with you. It's not for the moment. It happens in a moment, but it continues on. And sanctification is a walk, and a walk is not something you do way up in the air in a balloon ascension. A walk is right down here, day by day and moment by moment. Now he says, I have found out since I've come to Christ that the knowledge of Jesus Christ is uppermost in my thinking. And he said, I've suffered the loss of all things. All of these things I counted on, why I no longer count on them. And Paul says, I count now what he counted before as being so wonderful, his prized possession. He says, it's now dung. That's a strong statement. Paul says, I flush my religion down the drain. And that's what a great many folk need to do today. I remember hearing Dr. Carroll say years ago, he says, when I was converted, I lost my religion. And a great many people need to lose their religion and find Jesus Christ. As Paul did, he lost his religion. He not only lost it, why, it was for the garbage can. And he had it on the table as being his most prized possession. This is a revolution that's taken place. Now he states this in theological terms in a most wonderful way here. And this is the theological explanation of what happened to him. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, this is the verse that old Baptist John Bunyan, walking through the cornfields at night, wondering how he could stand before God, and he made this statement. He says, when I came to Christ, I didn't just see myself as a sinner. I saw myself as sin. From the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, I was sin. And when I came to him, I saw that I had nothing, and he had everything. And this is the verse that came to him, he said that night, walking through the cornfield, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Now, his own righteousness, as he makes it clear, it's of the law. That is, law-keeping. He could boast of the fact he kept the Sabbath day. And Paul says, now let no man judge you about a Sabbath day. God's not going to judge me, and I'm not going to let you judge me. You can make your statement, but your statement won't stand because of the fact that mine own righteousness, I could boast of the fact that I preach so many times during the year, that I have a daily radio program. But these things are nothing, friends. They count for nothing for salvation. Mine own righteousness is a legal righteousness, and God has already said the righteousness of man's filthy rags in his sight, and God is just not taking in dirty laundry. He's taking in dirty sinners, and he's the one that'll clean them up. Now, he had therefore given up his claim to all of his own righteousness. Now, my friend, when you come to Christ, you come as a bankrupt. You have nothing to offer him. Let's look at that. Let's tell it like it is. What have you got that God can use? I remember speaking several years ago to the Hollywood Christian group, and there had been a young couple converted, and they were talented kids. They had been in nightclubs, and they were attractive kids. They were beautiful people. On the human side, they had everything. And they called on him for a testimony before I spoke. And he gave this kind of a testimony, that he'd been converted now, and he's going to take this wonderful talent that he had and use it for Jesus. And so after I had finished teaching that night, I got with them at a table where they had coffee and cookies. And I said to him, I have a question that I would like to ask you. It sort of bothers me. You made the statement that you have a wonderful talent to use for Jesus. I'd like to know what your wonderful talent is. You danced in the nightclub. You sang in a nightclub. You told stories in a nightclub. You think Jesus could use that? Well, he said he hadn't thought of it like that. I said, look, when you come to Christ, you come as a bankrupt. You don't offer him anything. You come with nothing. You are a beggar. You are a bankrupt. You have nothing. And he has everything. And he offers it to you. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, and the important word is by faith. It's the only way in the world you can get it. You can't work for it. You can't buy it. You can't steal it. You just trust him. You honor God when you believe him. And that righteousness came about because when he died on the cross, he subtracted your sins. And when he rose again from the dead, it's for your justification, your righteousness. And you stand before God in Christ, not in yourself. You and I can't stand before him. May I say to you, God can't even stand us, friends. We're not attractive. The very fact he loved us and gave himself for us is the most amazing statement that can possibly be made.